Good. Okay, tonight's shiur is dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmas.
Henshin
Bas Yisrael Tzvi Nishom Zomer Aliyah.
Amen.
Okay, the first pasuk in Truma, the second pasuk really, everybody knows, everybody asks, Daber Abedei Yisrael V'yikhui Truma, and take for me Truma. Take? V'yitnuli, and give to me. Give to me Truma. Moshe is making an appeal. Take? Making an appeal, you don't say take. Give. You're collecting to give. So the Mefarshim, everybody, many Pshatim have said, Beis HaLevi says very nicely, V'yichuli truma. Because ultimately, what of a person's money, what really remains his, what does he really end up taking with him when he leaves this world? Only the money that he gave to tzedakah. When a person leaves this world, he can't take anything with him. What does he take? The money that he takes is the ma'isim toifim, the tzedakah that he gives, that he gave. V'yichuli. When a person gives tzedakah, in a sense he's taking, because that's the money that really is his. All the other money that he has, he can't take with him after 120 years. The Ben Ish Chai brings down a famous marshal, which he said over many times. Somebody sees the farmer planting, a city boy, he never saw a farm, never saw anybody plant. He passes by the farmer, and the farmer is putting seeds in the ground. And he says to the farmer, sugar, those are perfectly good seeds. Why are you burying them in the ground for? Why are you destroying the seeds by putting them in the ground? This is good. Why are you putting them in? And the farmer has to explain to him that the seeds take root, and from these seeds, the wheat, the crops, will grow. Tzedakah, it says, Zeru lechem tzedakah, plant tzedakah. Tzedakah is the same way. When a person gives tzedakah, it's not just giving, because Hashem promised the person, Asim shvil shenaz Hashem. But a lot of tests, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to giving tzedakah. So, v'yichu. Because when you give tzedakah, not only are you giving, but in a sense, you're also taking back for yourself. Because Hashem sends a bracha. So planting seeds in the ground, Hashem sends a bracha back to the one who gave, and it'll be zaycha to give again and again and again. This agav, this machagis and rishonim, how to read the Gemara. It's asa b'shvil shetis asher, or asa b'shvil shetis asher. Asa b'shvil shetis asher means take off ma'isa so you'll be rich and be able to give tzedakah. Or is it asa b'shvil shetis asher? Give ma'isa now, and Hashem will send you more, you'll be able to give ma'isa again. Give ma'isa again and again and again. Either way, it's a bracha, but you can read the word shetis asher or shetis asher. So be chuli. In a sense, when you give, you're really taking back. Rav Pamzatzal said over a very nice shot, and that is, when it comes to giving tzedakah, there are different types of people. There are those people, when they're approached to give, they give. Can you help us out? Can you give a donation? The appeal is made in shul, they'll give. The oni comes over, they'll give. And then there are those that, even before the gabbai makes the appeal, they'll approach the gabbai, I have money of tzedakah. Take it from me. Can you give it? Can you distribute it for me? Take the money. Says the Rambam, v'yichuli truma. When it comes to tzedakah, a person should be from those who have yichul. He says to the gabbai, take it from me. He shouldn't wait for the gabbai to come ask for the appeal to be made. But he should offer as soon as he has the money of tzedakah, v'yichul, take it. Take it. That's a higher madrega than somebody who gives when he's asked. But somebody who volunteers on his own, v'yichul, he offers, take it from me, is on a higher level, v'yichuli truma. Watch the clock a little bit. The Ben Ish Chai brings down the word truma. If you break up the letters, you have the word taira and mem. Taira, mem. Truma. Take out the mem, rearrange the letter, you have taira and mem. The mem is in remnants of 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai to Mekabel the taira. Taira, mem. The ikholi truma. It brings down the medrash and chuma. The medrash says that taira is not like any other schayr in the world. Taira is called Taira is a lekach toiv. Why is it called a lekach toiv? A good mekach, a good sale, a good deal. And the marriage brings down. There were two merchants who were traveling, and they came to the fair, the Irid, and he bought his wool, he bought his silk. Each one bought what they needed. At the end of the day, one says to the other, "You know, every year I sell wool. I want to try my hand at something different. Maybe we'll switch. How about if we trade? You take my wool, I'll take your silk, and this way I'll try to sell something new this year, and you try to sell something new," and they switch. After they switch, each one ends up with the other one's schayra. But the original schayra that he had, he lost. He gives away the wool, he receives only the silk back. He gives away the silk, he receives the wool. But says the Medrash, Taira is not so. One person learns say the Zerayim, one person learns say the Mayit. They say, let's switch. I'll teach you Seder Zerayim. Let's make a deal. I'll teach you Seder Zerayim, and you teach me Seder Mayit. and they sit down. He teaches him Seder Zerayim. He teaches him Seder Mayit. What happens at the end? Each one has both. Each one has what he learned originally, plus what he learns now. He got Torah is a good schayr. When you have Torah and you agree to trade it, to teach others, you end up learning in the process. It's a lech toiv. V'yikhuli truma. When it comes to Torah, mem, when it comes to Torah, v'yikhuli. It's always a v'yikhul. You're always taking. So a person gives over Torah, he always ends up taking. You never lose. A person teaches others, and they teach him. He ends up with both, and doesn't end up losing at all. It's a mekach toiv. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Six
right, right, right. He taught once in his rhyme, then he taught each other. Chamish chamish taira. Right.
He himself had a million credits.
We also over in Atzai Shittim, the Kol Yaakov. I think I said we said over every year, but it's kedai to say it over and over and over again. If you look at the Aroin, when it comes to the Aroin, the Torah gives us the measurements of the Aroin.
Yeah.
The also Aroin as a Shittim. What are the measurements of the Aroin? Perik Chafei Pasuk. And Perik Chafei Pasuk Yud. Everything is at halves. I'm a Sayim Vachetzi Arkoi. The length is 2.5 Amas. The Amma Vachetzi Rachboi. The width is an Am and a half. The Amma Vachetzi Kamasai. The height is an Am and a half. Everything ends in halves. When it comes to the Shulchan, in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Yasisa Shulchan Atzei Shittim, Amasai Markoi, the length is 2 Amas, a complete number, the Amma Rachboi, the width is an Amma, a complete number, the Amma Bechetzi Kamasai, and the height is an Amma and a half. So the Shulchan, some measurements are whole numbers, and some end in halves. When it comes to the Mizbeach, at the very end, the Mizbeach, all the numbers are complete. Right by Shishi, in Perichav Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, Yosisis Mizbeach Atzei Shittim, Chomesh Amos Eirich, 5 Amos long, Chomesh Amos Reicha, 5 Amos wide, Ravuayi HaMizbeach, Shosh Amos Kamosai, and 3 Amos tall, all whole numbers. So it's the Klayach of Eloi Dov, there must be a reason why, by the Aroin, all the measurements end halves, all fractions, by the Shulchan, some whole numbers, some fractions, by the Mizbeach, it's all whole numbers. Must be a reason why. Says the Klayach of the Aroin is Tyra. When it comes to learning Tyra, a person has to feel that he only learned half. He never finished. A person can never feel that he learned enough. A person feels that he's complete in his learning, he learned enough, he won't learn anymore. A person has to always feel that he only learned part, a fraction. There's always more to learn. And he can always learn from somebody else. Never feel that he knows more, he's greater than others, and he's whole, and he can't learn from others. One who learns from everybody. So when it comes to Torah, a person needs the attitude that he only learned part, and it's much more to learn, and he'll continue learning. The Shulchan represents Kesa Malchus, which is Olam Hazeh, Gashmius in this world. What should be a person's attitude towards Gashmius in this world? A person has to be in the middle. I have what I need, but I don't need more. So therefore, when it comes to what he has, a person should feel complete. I have the food that I need, I have the bed that I need, I have the clothing that I need, feel complete. But he looks like Yenim though, but he should feel, but when he's using Olam Hazeh, a person always has to leave something over. He should never use and think, I'm going to fulfill my complete taifa, I'm going to give him completely to my taifa, and eat whatever my heart desires, and wear whatever my heart desires. A person has to hold himself back. When it comes to Olam Hazeh, he has to be somewhere in between. He has to control himself and leave over, only use a fraction, not complete, not give in to all of his tithes. On the other hand, he has to feel that he has enough and he shouldn't go looking and being jealous of other people. So when it comes to Gashmius, it's a combination of being satisfied with what he has and again, not giving in to all of his tithes and holding himself back. The Mizbeach, what's the purpose of the Mizbeach? A kapara, karbonos. Karbonos are a kapara for a person. When a person brings a kapara, after he brings a carbon, a person is complete. A person did an aveira, he brings a carbon. When a person brings a carbon, he's supposed to feel as if the dam on the mizbeach is his blood. The fat on the mizbeach is his fat. The meat, whatever's on the mizbeach, should have been him, but Hashem in his chesed allowed the person to bring a carbon instead. So after the carbon is brought, a person hopefully did tshuva, had a kapara, it becomes an adam ha-sholem, becomes complete, therefore all the measurements of the mizbeach are sholem, are complete. A very nice insight. Chzainish in Bnei Barak, before it was built up the way it is today, and they first put in the street lamps, the electric lights, the street lamps, to Chazon Ish, stopped Reb Yaakov Galinsky one day, and they said to Reb Yaakov, I'm going to show you something very interesting. It was at night. When I walk towards the street lamp, my shadow becomes smaller and smaller. When I stand far away, the shadow is quite large. The closer I come to the light, my shadow shrinks, and I'm standing right by the light, the shadow disappears. And as I continue to walk away, the shadow starts to grow, until I'm further away, the further away I am, the larger the shadow is. So Yaakov, you can learn something, a musa from everything. The light is the light of Torah. When a person feels he's close to Torah, a person feels, I know it all, I'm close, I achieved, you should know he has nothing. But a person who feels that he's far away, and there's so much more to learn, so much more to accomplish, so much more I could do, so much more I could review over, I can learn again and again, the further away he feels, then the more, the bigger the shadow, the more the person could accomplish, the greater the person could become. The sorry. The pasuk tells us right before Sheni, "V'yosu l'mikdash, make for me a mishkan, a mikdash, v'shachati misaychom in perik chafei pasuk ches. Make for me a mikdash, and I'll rest misaychom in them." So Rashi says, "V'yosu l'mikdash, v'yosu l'shmi, make for me beis kedusha, a house of kedusha." Duno Magid has one of his famous mishalim on this pasuk. There was a spoiled son of a wealthy man, whose father gave him whatever the son wanted, and the son had money to spend without any chishbonos. One day he says to his father, he wants a fancy wallet to hold the money. It's not enough just to have enough money in his pocket, he has to have a fancy wallet to hold his money. And the father goes out and buys him a fancy wallet. And the next day the rich man's son comes to school with his fancy wallet with money. There's a poor boy in the class, and the poor boy sees the fancy wallet, and his eyes, and he says to himself, I have to have a wallet like that. I need a wallet like that. I want to have a wallet. And he goes to the store, and when he hears how much it cost, of course he can't afford it, he decides he's going to save up. It might take a year, it might take 2 years, he's going to save up penny by penny, until he's able to afford such a fancy wallet. And slowly but surely, every time he comes, has a little job to do, he saves, puts a little money away. And one day his father asks him, why are you saving all your money for? What are you planning on buying with it? And he tells his father, I'm planning on buying a fancy wallet that looks like this, and has this design on it, and so on. And his father says to him, why do you want the wallet for? Well, the rich man's son has it, and I see how beautiful it looks, I want one too. His father tells him, not what you want. The rich man's son needs a wallet, because he has money to put inside of it. But he says, you, what do you need a wallet for if you don't have any money to put inside? What good is a wallet if there's no money to put inside? So the Dunno Magid, also we mikdosh. Hashem says, make for me a mikdosh. It's not enough just to make the mikdosh, but it has to be shachanti b'saychom. You have to see to it that the Shekhinah rests inside. You have to see that it's not just an empty building, that's not just standing, but it has to be shachanti b'saychom. It has to be the Shekhinah should rest inside. But just to build a mishkan, or a base of mikdosh, and not have a Shekhinah inside, it's like the empty wallet without any money inside. Just to end off. The pasuk says,
we have 10 minutes.
I went a little too fast. Sorry.
Oh. Okay.
Sorry, I apologize. Okay, I'll. I'll try. Okay.
I look forward all week.
I'm sorry. The Yosisa is a crossing. The pasuk by Chamishi tells us the mitzvah of making the kroshim, the walls, the boards of the base of Mikdash. What were the kroshim made of? I'd say sheetah, cedarwood. The medrash, most rabbi, the medrash brings down, we made a Kodesh Baruch Hu derech eretz l'doyles. Hashem is teaching derech eretz to all future generations. Shem yivakesh adam, if a person wants to live nice base soy me'ion, isa peiros, if a person wants to build a house, using trees that produce fruits, using the wood of trees that produce fruits. Oimeloi, say to him, Oma melech machi amrochim, shakol shiloi, madach Hashem, that the whole world is his. Kishoimele lasis mishkon, when Hashem said to build a mishkon, Omar Hashem said, Loisavi, elo me'ilon, she'enei oisapeiros. Only use the atzeshitim, the cedar wood, which comes from a tree that does not produce fruits, sa'atem, you, alachas kama v'kama. definitely should only use wood of a tree that does not produce fruits, and not destroy a tree that produces fruits. So says the Medrash. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky would quote this Medrash, and he would say the lesson is so powerful that when a person is involved in a dova of ruchnius, of doing a mitzvah, ruchnius, be very careful not to cause any tsar or damage or to hurt anybody, anything else in the process. If you're going to hurt or destroy or ruin anything else of any person in the process, don't do it. When Hashem built the Mishkan, Hashem went out of his way to teach us this lesson to use dafka trees that don't produce fruits. And he tells over two stories. One story is well known, the Chavetz Chaim. Actually, three stories. The Chavetz Chaim, half time? Okay. The Chavetz Chaim wants to travel to a wedding, a chassan of one of his Talmidim in a faraway town. The chassans then were not like they were today. Much smaller affairs, smaller parties. And the Suda was in the house. After the chassan, they had the Suda in the house. The Chavetz Chaim asked where the kitchen was. And he walked into the kitchen and he looks around and he comes back out. So Ra'ilm thought he was, looking over the kashrus, trying to see, whose hechsher is in the kitchen. Who the cook was, and to make sure everything is kosher and okay to eat. Came time to wash, they went to wash, and they noticed the Chavetz Chaim washed using just the revius, the minimum amount of water. And he was very careful not to use one drop more of water. And everyone was, the kids said they sat down to eat, and of course there's one mechutzef sitting by the table. This mechutzef says to the Chavetz Chaim, is the Gemara in Shabbos, have samach beis and beis? And the Gemara says in Shabbos, Rav Chisda says, I washed my hands using water, fistfuls of water, meaning an abundance, plenty of water. From Shemayim, they put on me, they sent me Shefa Toiva, abundance, fistfuls of abundance, a bracha and ashirus, because I washed my hands not just with the minimum share, but I used more than the share. So he said to Chavetz Chaim, how could you not? Did you forget the Gemara? How could you just wash the minimum share of a revius? So Chavetz Chaim said, you noticed that I went into the kitchen before the washing took place. Do you know why I went into the kitchen? He said, yeah, the stamina, the kashrus. He wanted to see who the mashgiach was, who shchitat was, who the cook is, where the food's from. He says, no. I wanted to see who supplies the water to the house. Who brings the water? There was no indoor plumbing. There was the water, someone had to go and shrub the water from the nearest river or the nearest well and bring the water into the house. As I said, I wanted to see how much water there was inside the vat or the keg they had in the house. And I wanted to find out who was responsible for bringing the water. And I found there's a maid in the house, who's an almana, and a daughter is a yisayma, and part of their job is to shrub the water. He says, when I found that out, I'm not going to wash and use more than I have to on somebody else's cheshbon. And therefore, I was medactic to wash exactly the share of revius because I was concerned about the amana and the yisrael. Just a little thinking to do. He said, I'm going to wash mahajim and mahajim. But a god who looks ahead and understands the story. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky himself was a short person. So Rabbi Galinsky was a short person. I remember seeing him standing up on a chair when he spoke.
You saw him when he was alive?
Sure. So he came with the Mir Yeshiva here, he spoke. You remember? And he said the following. He told over the following story. He said, there was somebody shorter than me. Call him a midget if you want. Call him a midget if you want.
A little person.
A little person, shorter than me. When he was saying over the story, he said, that person already is an oil man as he passed away. But I want to tell you a Ma'aseh Shoni, he said. This short person was walking, and a Yerushalmi Yid passes by and sees him. And he did a double take. Very small person, a midget. And Yerushalmi decided it's time to make a bracha. You see, a bracha, a midget, make a bracha, Mishana Habrilis. Mishana Habrilis. Okay. You make the bracha, you don't do it upon him. You do it quietly. You're not going to tell him to his face.
Mishana Habrilis.
So this person went ahead and wanted to do a mitzvah, Mahajan min Mahajan. Chazal tells us when you do a mitzvah, you're supposed to hold the chayvetz shel mitzvah in your hands. He was a big person. He picks up this midget in his hands, tefach, holds him, and makes baruch, and he makes a bracha, mishana habriyos, and everyone, including the midget, answered amen. Rabbi Kulinski, I don't know what happened afterwards, but I can tell you, in the Oyel Me'emes, I can tell you that the midget will have schar, not only for the amen that he answered, but for the bracha that the other person made as well because of him. And the one made the bracha will have a double chilk and gehenim for his bracha. Very careful not to be mitzar somebody for your mitzvah. One more story and we'll stop, and then I think we'll be okay.
Okay.
Okay? Reb Don Segel, later in his life, he had a bochor stay with him in his room, slept in the same room with him at night. He went to sleep by himself. There was a bochor who slept with him in the room at night. And Reb Don Segel filled up a cup of negelbas every night with the shisel, with the bowl, and instead of leaving it next to his bed, he left it right outside the door of the room. He left it inside the hallway, right outside the door of the room. So every morning when he woke up, instead of washing negelbas while he was in his bed, and without walking, he had to walk from his bed to the door, and then he first washed negelbas. And Nira Boch was very perplexed. Okay, the Rashid is at hold that the whole house is Dalaramis, it can be Megal, but he knew Reb Don Segel was Makbid and everything else. Couldn't understand why Reb Don Segel would wash negelbas by the door, not by his bed. So one day he finally built up enough courage, and he asked him nicely. He says, "Can Rashid tell me why he doesn't wash negelbas by the bed? Why do you wash by the door? You said Mechneshik Sarashba, the house is Dalarat. Umaisa." Reb Don looked at him and says, "You have to ask me why I wash by the door? Don't you understand? I'm doing it for you. Because I wake up every morning earlier than you do. If I would wash negelbas in the room, when I wash my hands, the water makes noise as I wash. When it hits the bowl, it makes noise. I would wake you up every morning. In order not to wake you up, I leave the negelbas by the door. Are you going to ask me, it's better to do it by the bed? But b'shas hatzayrich, a person can be make. When there's no greater shas hatzayrich than letting somebody else sleep and not waking them up. Good Shabbos.